Welcome to Hard Reboot. I'm Alan.
I'm Matt.
Yeah, and then I'm Jake. That's the order.
And we are shaking off the ring rust real hard today.
We've got a little bit of rust. It's been a minute.
Hey, sorry about all of that.
The boys are back in town now, though. Yes. So, yeah. Oops.
Our world's on fire. How about yours? That's not the way we like it, but we aren't really bored.
I guess it depends. I should have got a beer. I just have a stupid Arnold Palmer.
I only have a water, but it's fancy water.
It looked like a beer, so I was like, oh, I could have.
Oh no, it's just Topo Chico. So it's
you got a Topo Chico. I live in a new state now. Oh. Well, not a new. It's an old state. It's the ninth state.
Uh-huh.
But I live in it. It's the one I used to live in. I moved back, so that's the thing that's changed between the last time we recorded and this one is I'm not in Texas anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm back in the frozen north up in New Hampshire.
So y'all want to talk about Don Quixote de la Mancha?
Yes.
Is it going to be like this the whole episode, Alan?
It's good.
Yes.
He does this every time. I don't know why you're surprised. This is not the first time he's put the stank on it. Go back to the I think it was the Quasimodo episode, the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Go back to that one. Go listen to him try to overpronounce Notre Dame.
Oh yeah.
Look.
Hey, we made that a shonen anime.
We did.
I think that was one of our weaker episodes. It was still pretty good. So
Don Quixote is about a chivalrous man from La Mancha named Alonso Quijano. I believe is how you pronounce the last name. And he kind of loses his mind and fully believes that he is a knight errant and his job is to go and revive chivalry and serve his nation of La Mancha. So he takes the name Don Quixote de la Mancha. And he is joined by a squire, Sancho Panza, and they go around, if you've ever heard the phrase, tilting at windmills, this is where it's from. It was written by Miguel de Cervantes, and it was originally published in 1905 in two parts, with the second part being published, or not 19, first part being published in 1605, the second part being published in 1615.
I was going to say, it was 1905. It might not be off. It might not be on our list yet.
But as we know it now, the parts one and part two of Don Quixote are combined. So any modern version is part one and part two in the same book.
Mm. Okay.
Does this have anything to do with The Man of La Mancha? I feel like that was a movie that I've seen.
Yes.
That's an adaptation, I believe.
It is an adaptation.
Terry Gilliam also tried a million times making Don Quixote and didn't until like 3 years ago, and he's been trying since like the mid-80s. So.
And the big difference between part one and part two is that there is a 20-year gap in between the events of the story. And what was actually kind of interesting in doing some research about this, apparently when part two was written, it was obviously written for people who are fluent in Spanish and were literate. So because it was so massively popular when it was published in 1605, part two immediately assumed that you had already read part one and treated part one as though it had actually happened. So if you hadn't read part one and you started with part two, you had no idea what was going on because it basically just picked up 20 years later with the same characters.
Was it called Don Quixote part two?
Part two.
Why would you start with that one? Why wouldn't you hunt down the first one? I don't know what libraries were like in 1605. But
I was about to say 1600s and books were probably rare.
I mean, it couldn't have been if it was super popular, Alan. It can't be both.
Well, it was super popular among literate Spanish speakers. That is a small population in that time period.
Well, then those people could have definitely had the book. So I don't see.
Well, they probably read it, which is why they picked up part two. But it's one of the kind of historical examples of, you know, a sequel, even though it was written 20 years later, picking up immediately where the events of the previous book left off.
Oh, so there's not a 20-year time skip in the novels. It's in real life there was 20 years between the two.
I misspoke. It's 10 years in real life. I believe it was 20 years in the book.
So the book goes, and we're done now. And then part two is like 20 years later, Don Quixote is back with a vengeance or whatever. I don't know the story of it. I'm looking at it now. I just clicked on something. I don't care who that guy is.
But yeah,
let's see what this Don Quixote is all about.
It kind of also introduced Cervantes used a metafictional device, basically that all the characters in part two were also familiar with the events of part one. So everyone in the narrative also knew the story of Don Quixote and just rolled with it.
Okay. So what does he do? What is the story? He thinks he's a knight errant. Yep. And is that it?
And he goes around the countryside trying to teach people chivalry and spread the idea of chivalry throughout the countryside. This includes things like trying to rescue damsels and ladies who are indeed prostitutes by fighting a dragon that was actually a windmill. So kind of he created these very elaborate things in his mind that he had to go and defeat while poor Sancho was just kind of there.
His squire,
who knew that none of it was real, but couldn't convince Don Quixote that it wasn't real.
Okay. So that doesn't tell me a lot as far as like actual specifics, which I think is probably for the best.
Yeah, that kind of seems to be how we work.
Because, like, do we need does part two matter? Does part two matter to? Can we just like put that on the list for if it comes up again, we'll do part two of whatever it is that we make, or is it like integral to the whole story that we do both?
It's not,
because if it's just a guy going around teaching people like open a door for a lady and like stand up when someone enters the room and that kind of shit, like then I don't know if we need to know specifics.
It's broken into the three Sallies, which
are these people, or is this a literature term I'm unfamiliar with?
As much as I can tell, it's not a literature term. I believe it's a chivalric term. To sally forth.
All right, that makes sense.
So there are three distinct sallies, or I guess adventures, that he has that are tied with one another, as in they acknowledge that the previous one happened, but I don't think it necessarily like impacts the others, what happened in the others.
Okay. It also I'm on Wikipedia just doing a cursory scan through it. It also looks like Sancho does not join him until adventure number two.
The second Sally? That makes sense.
What could we... Do you have an idea for this, Alan? I was about to ask a question, but...
I do. Yeah. At least a setting. Okay. I don't really have an idea beyond the setting. A Western...
Interesting.
I mean, that's just trying to think of a way to say spaghetti Western, but Spanish instead. That's just I can't name a single Spanish dish off the top of my head.
Paella?
Paella is rice, but...
Yeah, that's a paella Western.
Yeah. Okay, that's very interesting, and I think that would work. So I have a question.
Yeah, what's your question, Matt? And then I will tell you my extremely stupid idea that's the dumbest thing you'll ever hear, at least today, from me.
Could we use part two as a framing device for part one?
Sure. So we start at part three and then flash back to part one?
Well, we take part two, because part two is the three Sallies, right?
No, part one is the first and second Sally.
And part
then
three
part
is the third.
Part two is the third Sally.
Okay, so we start there and then flash back as we build up to the end of the story.
Okay. Oh, so we can just kind of
Jake
do all it together then. Yeah, we don't need to. If they are that connected, I thought it was like extremely separate. But I guess act structure is sort of like more recent than maybe 1605. So
100%. Yeah.
So basically, what I'm seeing, and it's been a while since I've read it, but I'm kind of trying to refresh myself. The first Sally was he went to an inn and thought it was a castle.
Okay.
He made himself a nuisance. The innkeeper dubbed him a knight to make him go away. He fell in love with a neighboring farm girl. And in a, like, he then frees a slave boy, who is then tied and beaten by his master, and then makes the dude promise to treat the boy fairly and then leaves because he's now a knight.
Okay. I feel like the
second Sally is the famous one. The second Sally is him going into a field of windmills and seeing them as giants and dragons and trying to protect the people of a town from this perceived threat.
Okay. Here's my stupid thought, and then I'll have the good one that I thought a second ago.
Cool.
Stupid
good. Love
thought
it.
Number one is it's an anthropomorphic animal tale starring a donkey named Hote.
Okay, that's dumb.
That's yeah,
dumb,
I told
but
you.
I kind of like it.
But there's no space helmet on that donkey, so it might not be bad.
Is this a Western about animal people? And maybe the main character's name is Hote, or he takes the name and he just is a donkey. It's very stupid,
but I don't mind it.
Because we can treat it however we want.
Yeah.
Like it can be because like this is clearly a comedy. Like it seems like
in the more classic sense of a comedy. It, yeah,
like a farce. You know, kind
it's a
of.
Farce.
So here's second idea: is what if these things he's seeing, like he's windmills as dragons, he sees an inn as a castle. What if he's not crazy? What if he is seeing something and everyone else thinks he's crazy and that the goofs are from that, but, like, the farther in we go, we realize that, like, somehow he has pierced the veil and is actually protecting people from dragons and whatnot.
Interesting. I like that because what I was going to ask is, could we do this where it, like, flips back, but we're also doing this as a novel, aren't we? Did we say that?
I think Alan did say that. It was so long ago, but I
yes.
did, I think at the end okay. of the last episode, which I edited pretty recently, that...
yeah. Well, had yeah. we said that in this episode? I don't know if we did or not.
Oh, I don't know if I did, but yes, we are doing
not.
This as a novel.
Okay.
One thing that also may be helpful is that by the end of part two, he does regain his senses, and he dies as Alonso Quijano the Good.
Okay.
Which could just mean that he beat all the monsters.
Yeah.
So is this... This kind of, Jake, it kind of feels like your idea there is that this is kind of setting a, like a hidden world kind of thing. Like
yeah.
he can see beyond or see further. That could be fun. That could be mm-hmm. interesting to play with.
Because if he's just like a dope that like thinks he's a knight, because like if he's a cowboy that thinks he's a knight, I think that's very funny. I think that works. Like, because that's still enough of a like. Difference in how you act than like that I think it still works, but if he's just like a doofus who's like I'm a knight this is in the castle then that guy sucks and I don't want to do a story about that guy sounds really annoying. That sounds like a movie that you would do about Dory from Little Nemo, which seems like a terrible idea. Why anyone would do that about the worst character in Pixar history.
And make millions of dollars off of it.
There's no accounting for the taste of dumb children.
It's not even... Some adult man had to say, yes, let's make the worst character who actively ruins everything and is just annoying. What if a movie about her?
I have no argument. I never saw it. It just seemed dumb.
I never saw it either, and I believe that we are... what's the word I'm looking for? Not distancing.
In the weeds.
Estranging any Dory stands that we have in the audience.
I don't care. Dory sucks, and I will die. I was born on that hill. I will die on that hill.
We have had months to bottle up all this rage, Alan. It's so going to come out.
I am super down for an otherworld type idea. And maybe Sancho, maybe he can't see it, but he does actually believe it.
Ooh. I think as it goes on, he would come to believe it. And if we do the framing device where it starts 20 years later and we're sort of hearing about his exploits, then like we can start with it being like, this guy just thinks he's a knight and he's, you know.
So what if what it is that it's almost like a inherited madness. That this seeing what's beyond the veil and all that gets passed down originally like parent to child and then eventually like master to apprentice style when like the line was going to break or something. And it's just like you defend the realm for a while and then you hand it off to somebody.
And then when you have done enough, you can pass it off.
And you don't see it anymore. Like you
literally don't think it's
real. Pass it off. So he's...
Oh, I like that.
He's almost, like, infecting Sancho with it.
So would the framing device then be Sancho telling the story and not Hote, the donkey man? Are we still going with that? It seems kind of stupid now that we have this whole other thing.
No, I love the anthropomorphic animal
side. I still
side.
Like the anthropomorphic
that's great.
Animals.
Okay.
That just adds a little bit of weirdness to it that's just even better.
Yeah.
Because, like, look, the Redwall books exist and they're amazing. So you can tell a lot of story with animals.
Plus, I don't think there's a single thing outside of one Bible movie where the donkey is the hero.
Oh, gosh. I know the song that references that movie and I hate it.
It's like the star or something like that.
Clippity clomp. Hee haw, hee haw.
Oh, Dominic. I think that's separate. I think, well, because I say Christmas
donkey?
Movie. I mean, it's a Jesus movie. It's not a Christmas movie. It's a Jesus movie.
Oh, okay.
I thought that was like a Christmas donkey.
Yeah, Dominic the Donkey.
Okay.
Yeah. I just think that they're unrelated, but like.
Okay.
Also, wow. Like, that song is bad. So, like, the donkey doesn't look good in that either because the song is, like, really annoying.
So, what kind of animal would Sancho be? For some reason, I'm thinking a bird. Because birds and donkeys are often associated with each other in kind of a symbiotic relationship.
Okay. That could be fun. What kind of bird?
Do we actually want to stick with any sort of, like we'll keep Old West, but do we care? Because I'm going to say right now, it's not a Putu.
No, Alan, don't even try to say that.
No.
You will be extraordinarily outvoted. This is the one place we can outvote the Putu.
No, I'm actually looking up like
puppet
the bird that is symbiotic.
If it's a blue jay, I'm going to rail against it because those guys are little assholes.
Yeah,
but,
that's a mean little dude.
But if it's anything else, I'm probably fine with it. Could it be like, what if it's a canary?
It's an oxpecker.
What's an ox? That's just a delightful word you said there.
Oxpecker is a medium-sized bird that can have symbiotic relationship with a variety of hoofed mammals. Large mammals like water buffalo are prone to ticks, which feed on their blood. Luckily for them, the oxpecker feeds on ticks. So Sancho could be like a little oxpecker that like rides with.
Oh,
I mean, I think he'd be
so good.
I think he'd be regular size. You know, I don't think he would be small. I think they would all be like
person
humanoid proportion. You know,
but I love the coloring. And if he's like a little shorter and a little squatter, that's just kind of fun.
Yeah. Like, they're not obviously going to be, like, everyone's 5 feet tall. Like, that would be, yeah. Like, but, and I also think that, like, Hote should be, like, kind of like a bigger dude, because donkeys are workhorses, so, like,
mm-hmm.
Well, they're
work donkeys.
Yeah, they're donkeys. Yeah, I also
they
really
are
like
a
the
beast
coloring
of burden.
On these. Yeah. Exact. That makes so much sense, see? It's like I planned this.
This is how the magic comes together here on Hard Reboot.
You just say stupid things until everyone's like, yeah, maybe that's not stupid anymore.
And we gauge them all by how close to a horse wearing a spacesuit helmet they are.
And he's a donkey, so it's close, but it's not quite there.
So we have a donkey named Hote and an oxpecker named Sancho.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I like that.
Now, in It's a novel, so I need to get like visuals out of my head.
Fair.
Because I was thinking like that there could be a stark, and I mean there could be a stark written contrast between like the language that is used to describe what's real and the language that is used to describe what is other. Like maybe what is real is a little bit more warm and a little bit more natural, whereas what is other is a little bit more cold and a little bit more severe.
Well, when you say other, do you mean the world that everybody but Hotei sees, or do you mean the stuff that only Hotei sees?
The stuff that only Hotei sees. The stuff that everybody else sees is just written kind of in a normal flow of language.
It's just regular, yeah. But I think that would make sense because he thinks he's like a regular guy, and then something happens, and now he can see the other one. He goes, "Oh, I'm Hotei. I am a knight. You know, whatever." And so I think when it is being described, I think it would be a little more like flowery. I think that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So there's part of this is just like really flowing, reading through some of these sections. There's part of this that's really flowing in with this idea we have is when he recruits Sancho, when Quixote recruits Sancho, he promises him basically a governorship. Like, he promises him, like, a governmental position of some sort. And it's like, he could still, I guess, have, like, an estate as part of this line of knights.
Who is he before? Let me go back to...
Who was Don Quixote before?
Yeah.
He was just a noble from La Mancha named Alonso Quijano.
Uh-huh.
And basically, he read a whole lot of chivalric romances... Went a little insane. off the deep end, and was like, "Hey, guess what? I am living in that story now, and that story is now real, and I am a knight of La Mancha, and I am Don Quixote," and he gives himself the title of Don.
Quixote de La Mancha.
So he says he's a Hidalgo, which is a member of the lesser Spanish nobility. So maybe he's like, I don't know, like a mayor's son or something like that. Something where if he went to someone and went, "I can give you a governorship," they would be like, "Well, maybe you can," you know, instead of being like, "Nah, man, that's not real." Like,
yeah, and so that
makes sense.
Because it's totally real. Like, the reality is it's real and Sancho will get it.
Yeah, but it is a curse and a burden.
Yeah.
it is a duty that you are given.
One thing that I think we need to make a distinction about is what Don Quixote sees. Everything is wrong. Like, he doesn't just see dragons and then he turns around and there's a normal peasant. He sees a dragon and then turns around and there is a lady that is in need of saving. And this projection is on everything and everyone. So do we want to continue that, or do we want to make it to where he's more aware that parts of reality are real?
I want to lessen it a little bit, but I still like the idea that it is like, for the most part, what he sees is like the wrong. Like, he sees like the other world for the most part, but I don't want it to be like as like broad and goofy as that can get, because like I think like it's gonna be like comedy, but it doesn't need to be stupid, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I feel like it's really easy to cross that line when you have something as like absolute as that, but like I just had a thought that maybe he's not supposed to see everything that way, and that like because he inherited it wrong, or like he got hit in the head or something, like that he sees more than he should, and you would normally be like, "I can see the dragons for what they are, but everybody else is still normal," or like, "I can see that like in whatever metaphysical realm I'm looking into, there is a castle here where this inn is, and so like that's what I'm looking at." He's like, everything is like that more than it should be.
And it could also be, I think it is, this neat or stupid? The ultimate question of this podcast, is it neat or stupid?
Is this a good idea or is this a bad idea?
It doesn't matter until we come to the end of the show, because we can fix everything.
So what if his, when he views someone as not themselves, what if he's viewing, like, their best or worst version of themselves? Like, he's seeing an inner truth about that person that is now displayed. Because he's seeing the truth of the world.
Right.
So if he looks at this peasant woman and sees a high lady, that is just that truth of her that he is seeing, even though it's not real.
Right. I think that's a good idea. I like that. Because then you get like play around with like what people really are. And so like sometimes you'll see someone and he just sees them as a monster. You know, and maybe it is that like they are infected with a monster from the other world and that's why they're terrible. And so like he's like, well, got to defeat him. So here's a question I have about how the not framing device part, because I think the framing device part is the sun is just getting right up in my, hold on, I'm going
to
scooch.
I was about to say it is right in your business.
Yeah. Here we go. All right. There we go. Just move my whole shit forward. So. The framing device, if it is Sanjo telling the reader, who could be someone taking down his story, or him just explaining it to like his squire or whatever, like then that's going to be treated a certain way. When we are in it, when we're like in the stuff, do we
ever
still,
go from his perspective?
Are we from Sancho's perspective, or like the outside perspective, or are we in Hote's perspective? Are we in his POV? So like he would just see the dragon, or would he just go, Sancho, that is a dragon, and Sancho would go, that is a windmill, and then he fights, and then maybe there's like a flash where he does see a dragon, and like that's when it starts like coming together for him that like, oh, something might be real here.
Could we maybe shift and do some POV from Sancho and some POV from Hote?
I think so. We would need to like be clear about the delineation somehow.
Well,
but
that's kind of where I got into with language. So if it's from Sancho, it's just kind of normal narrative discussion. But if it's Hote, then it's flowery and like high chant type language where it feels valorous and bigger and over the top.
Right.
And maybe we don't go into Hote's perspective a lot. Maybe just once per sally or once per story, we get what Hote saw.
What if we don't actually delineate it and we just use the like the language itself as the tell, and we kind of hide it, and that way we can like every once in a while it will be, and because it is being told ostensibly by Sancho, like every once in a while it will be like, this is like Sancho is telling us what Hote saw or what he was experiencing, so that's why it's in this different language, but we never like come out and say it. And we just kind of like let the flow kind of dictate what happens, because I like the idea of like in the, you know, just in a chapter, like Hote says something and then the next paragraph of description is all in this like highfalutin, you know, kind of like hoity-toity language that like kind of tells you like, oh, this is what he's seeing, this is what he's, you know,
experiencing.
This is like his thing, and we can go back to it and go back to like, you know, more down to earth, less you know, chivalrous or whatever kind of language, less you know, Chaucer.
That's actually a very good point to it, is Chaucer versus, you know, just a normal,
just like someone writing. Yeah.
Do people, we kind of mentioned it, but I kind of want to touch on it a little more. Jake, you had mentioned where you thought that like if someone was bad, like let's say Jote and Sancho roll up into a town, and there is a mayor that is greedy and is hurting its people, or hurting their people, and that person appears as a monster. So, do you think more than that changes? So, like, when... Because what I see, and I think what I'm trying to beat around the bush to, is I kind of want there to be truth in the truth that no one else can see. So, like, when Jote is describing the peasant woman that looks like a high woman, or, like, a lady,
yeah,
then the description matches up with what Sancho sees. It's just more?
Yeah.
So, like, if the woman was... a heron. She's still a heron. It's just, you know, all of the... He describes how the feathers lay and how her neck is so elegant and long and, you know, all of those little details that maybe you wouldn't pick up on if you're just seeing a heron in a rush and not seeing her for what she is.
Yeah, I think that's like, a good way to do it. Because, like, the truth within the truth, I think maybe we should just call the world that he sees the truth, like capital mm-hmm. T truth. Does that work? I feel like that's like
I like it
kind yeah. of mystical enough that I think it works. So like, do we have it so that, like if he sees this peasant woman, and by peasant woman, because this is Western times, so like just like a barmaid, you know, like, but he sees her, but like, she is, like, in her heart, she is good and kind, so that would make her, like, a lady, like, in, you know, in knightly terms, like, not, mm-hmm. like, you know, just, like a woman, but, like, a, like, not a lord, a lady, that a kind lady, of thing.
Yeah.
So, like, I think the idea that would kind of translate, so, like, if Sancho is, like, she's a nice lady, then he would be, like, yes, she is a nice, she is, like, you know, adjective, like, you just, you know, you can buy a thesaurus and look up the $10 words, you know, and it's like, it is the same, but it's like one is clearly like higher than, like, heightened, not higher, but more heightened than the other.
Mm-hmm.
I also just had an idea that, like, the one idea I don't like, but it leads to an idea that I do like, so maybe we can workshop the one I don't. So if he sees the reason I don't want it to be, like, straight up, like, everything he sees is the truth is because then, like, I feel like the book would be about Sancho trying to keep a leash on Jote, you know, from, like, going off and, like, getting too buck wild. Mm-hmm. And, like, more of it could be Jote trying to convince.
To be fair, that's kind of what Don Quixote is about.
No, I know. So, like, I think, like, having it there, but I don't want the whole thing to be about that because I feel like that would get, like, irritating to, like, keep reading about how he keeps going off and trying to get himself killed. But like, if we have like more of it can be him trying to convince Sancho that like what he is seeing is real, then Sancho seeing him just fully believe in it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that I don't like is that I was thinking that maybe every time he sees someone who is possessed by some sort of monster, like, they would be a specific animal. So, like, no matter what animal they really were, he would see them as, like, my first thought went to pig, but I don't think that's fair to pigs.
right.
You know. But what'd you say, Alan?
I said right. Because it immediately made me think of, like, how everybody's like, oh, a weasel. But weasels are actually kind of cute.
They're cute and, like, they have a reputation. But, like, you know, like and I, like, oh, he sees a snake. But, like, a lot of times snakes just mind their own business. They just got the one bad rap from the Bible and they've been paying for it ever since. It's, like, we think of a word that he can associate, like, maybe, like, goblin, you know, like, yeah. Something like that.
Because,
like,
we are leaning into fantasy. I do want him to see a dragon.
Yeah, well, like, when we get to the windmill part, like, that's straight up going to be a field of dragons. He's going to be like, yeah, my time has come. Like,
mm-hmm.
But what I, so... Maybe if they're like the, you know, the mayor of the town is a blue jay, because again, they're all assholes. So like, he's like, yeah, that goblin. And like, that's like kind of the signifier of like, he sees that someone is monster. And so it's, since it's Western times, instead of sword fights, it would be duels, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he wins all his duels because he doesn't die until the end of the book when he is old and has like, kind of the truth has passed from him to Sancho. who I think should have a much better handle on it than him. Like, he has, like, the correct way of it, where he's like, I can see what's wrong and how to, like, that, instead of just, like, a lot more of it is blank.
Yeah.
So he wins all his duels. So he has a six shooter that he shoots people with. There's a bang. They don't – he wounds them, not kills them, because, like, that would be murder, and I feel like that, like – I feel like it's better if he kills the monster in them than not the person, because if mm-hmm. you know what I mean. But then, like, at the end, we can reveal, like, his gun has been empty the whole time.
Yeah, it's been blanks.
Like it's not even blanks. It's just empty. Like, he is shooting something else that does not come from this plane. And that's kind of like the, like, a big reveal of, like,
yeah, this, like, this Sancho never lets him see, or Hotei never lets Sancho see when he loads his gun, or where he keeps his bullets, or even where he keeps the gun. Like, yeah, like the gun, like, is a very special, precious.
It's his never sword. Out of his holster unless he is, because you don't unsheath your sword unless you plan to kill someone with it, you know? So, like, he doesn't take out his six shooter unless he is in a duel. And, like, he never reloads, as far as Sancho knows. So he's like, I don't know when he reloads. Like, and then we reveal, like, later maybe he gets, like, knocked out or something, and his gun is dropped, and Sancho goes to pick it up, and he's like, this is empty. Like,
I could almost even see it as on the deathbed. Like, you know, Sancho, like, he gives Sancho the gun, and Sancho's like, well, where are the bullets? There were no bullets. There never were.
Yeah. I don't know if we should wait that long, because then, like, I think because before then he will have passed the truth on, right? Because, like, when he's on his deathbed, he's already been out of the truth for a while. So
part of it could be that Sancho is... Maybe part of the trick of it is you can't just be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself.
You got to believe it. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe he's actually piecing things together. He finds the gun and discovers that it's not loaded, but somehow still fires. And at some point he has to have that, like, crisis of faith where Don Quixote's on the ground and he has to take the gun and do the thing
and shoot the goblin. Yeah.
And, like, the first shot, it just clicks because there's nothing there. And then, like, he has to basically be, like, coached the whole, like, no. You got to believe in the bullet.
There is no spoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. What if it's something like he's, like, you know, he's been injured. So he's, like, away, like, Hotei has been injured. So he like, can't get to his gun or whatever, or it drops out of his hand and he's, like, pinned or something. And so there are things coming towards him. Towards Sancho, and he picks up the gun and he sees that there are no bullets in it, and Hotei's like, you gotta shoot him, and he's like, but there's no bullets in there, and he goes, there never has been. And that's when it kind of clicks, like, mm-hmm. or oh, it's like you fire from your heart, basically.
Yeah, yeah, you
know?
You are the bullet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I had written down, and it hit me kind of like a lightning bolt a few minutes ago. Faith. It mm-hmm. it boils down to the passage of the truth is faith.
Yeah.
And it's not so much that the person who loses the truth loses faith. It's that they pass their faith on to someone else.
Yeah.
Faith is with someone else, it doesn't have to be with them anymore.
Yeah. And we can treat it as, and I don't know how, like, I'm not a book doctor. I don't know how to write books super great. One of us went to college for that and it wasn't me.
Hello. So, I have lots of shiny papers that say I'm good at it.
Yeah, mine just says I know my way around a camera, and that's not entirely true. but I don't know how we would write it, but the not like the moral, but I guess the theme of, like, the truth is your faith in what you're doing as, like, protector of the rest of the world. Like, when you pass it on, you only pass on the, like, actual burden of, like, seeing it. You don't, like, lose the faith in it. And that way we can kind of set up a sequel where Sancho is like, why can't everyone see this then, you know? And, like, it sort of is him, like, maybe that's what this book is, maybe him telling the tale is to try to, like, get people to believe that, like, this other stuff is out there and to better defend themselves from it by believing in mm-hmm. themselves about it. Again, it gets a little wishy-washy, but, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, it's almost, and Jake, you might shout me down for being totally wrong, but it's kind of like the Buffy Slayer situation. you know.
That is a mystical burden passed down.
But if everyone's a Slayer.
Well, like, that is the thing is
like the passing of that burden on to everyone to lessen the burden.
That's not necessarily a passing the burden. I guess burden is not the right word for at least in the Buffy sense, because the end of season 7 is her going, what if we shared the power instead of like it's like some old men said one girl has to have it, but why? That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't matter anymore. What if everyone has it? And my favorite thing about Buffy is, and it's there from the start, it's there the whole time, it's never said, but it's there the whole time, is that sharing power makes power stronger. Like, mm-hmm. it is never, you cannot mm-hmm. be weaker by sharing, which is, again, it's not a thing that they ever, like even metaphorically say. It's just, like, when Buffy comes back to life, there are now two Slayers, so they're, like, that's double the amount of Slayers there were before. And when she passes it later, it is straight up like, now everyone has it. I am still the same amount of Slayer that I was before, and now everyone is. If we want to go that kind of way, I am 100% down. So, because mm-hmm. I like that.
No, I like that as well. That's probably like an end game scenario, probably for this book.
I think it's more of like an implication. You know, than rather him saying, like, I need everyone to see this so that, like, because then that would make it sound like Sancho's kind of a weenie. He's like, I don't want to be the only one. Like, I'm going to need some help. But I think it's him going, like, this is what I learned. So, like, if everyone else can learn it, then, like, everyone can be better equipped. And instead of, like, one person going around trying to save everybody from the truth, from, like, the other world that you see with the truth, anyone can do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
I like that we made a donkey the chosen one.
Yeah.
Look, chosen ones are jackasses sometimes.
Yeah.
Bow.
I suppose, and I don't know if this matters. Actually, I don't think it does. I don't think it matters why Hote sees what he sees and doesn't see what he sees and that it affects him the way it affects him. I don't think the answer to that question is important.
Yeah, I don't think we ever need to say, like, he read enough books that it, like, he could see the truth. I think it's just, like, something happened, and now he can
do this, yeah.
And that's, like, that's all you need to know. And I think the fact that he does it is the important part. It's not that he has to. It's that he chooses to.
Ooh, mm-hmm. Here's an interesting wrinkle. So somewhere in the third Sally, it's, like, the story of Don Quixote and Sancho is kind of, like, spread. People know about them. And and their exploits in air quotes. And so this like Duke and Duchess just start giving them shit just all over the place. Can we twist that around so that one of those two is basically a failed Quixote? To contrast, because like Don Quixote, the important thing about him is that he's doing the thing. Right.
Yeah.
So one of these two had all the knowledge, is aware that it's true, and just doesn't do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that. And then feels guilty about it later on.
They can't. Well, they can't like see it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, or worse, they still can, and are just like, I don't have it in me to stop this. Like, I don't know if I can. And you know, at some point, them being like, well, yeah, you can. You just got to believe in yourself. That's the whole point is, you know. And I think that can work because, like, didn't you say that, like, the whole, like, trick of this part two is that everyone knows about part one in the story? Like, everyone mm-hmm. knows about it. So if part two is sort of the framing device, then like, the idea that Sancho is telling people this, it's like, well, everybody already kind of knows. So, like, let's just write it down for posterity. So, like, let's give you
the real version of what happened. You know,
yeah, I'll tell you, like,
Hote didn't just go into a town, see a bunch of windmills, go around screaming at people, and then tried to shoot a bunch of windmills. Like, that's not what happened.
Yeah. I think at some point during the windmill fight, when it's all like said and done, they're like, good, I slayed all the dragons. This place is safe now. Like whoever's like, when they leave or before they leave, because I guess if we're staying kind of close to the POV of the two characters, I don't know if we can like have them walk away and someone be like, well, hold on, you know, But like we just have there be like scorch marks. Like there is just like there's like melted stone. Nothing could have done this. Like he could not have faked that somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, excuse I like me. That.
I feel like we nailed it. What else do we need?
I don't know. I don't know that we do need anything else.
We do got to name it.
Yeah.
Have we done book before? Have we done books?
I don't think we... We've done comic books, but I don't think we've just done a novel.
I don't think we've just done a novel. Yeah, that's why so I did it as a novel.
Yeah, so we don't really have a, like, we do this thing, you know? And like what we do with TV shows, like round robin, pitch an episode. So we don't really need to do that with novels because, like, pitch a chapter. It's just read Don Quixote.
Yeah, it's just read Don Quixote.
All right, dope. Well, let's name it. Let's name this thing. Let me look at the titles. There's like 100 titles of these.
I'm feeling like La Mancha.
La Mancha can be the sort of faux Western area that.
Mm-hmm. So could this be the Knight of La Mancha?
Would we want to make it into something like La Manchero to give it more of a Western-y type vibe?
I don't know. I don't know if that like hits the way I want it to. I'm trying to figure out if we can put because if you everything with Don Quixote is Don Quixote, it's a blah 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 blah, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to figure out if we can put the word Jote in there, and it wouldn't seem dumb. Unless we called it like Jote, the Knight of La Mancha, or something like that.
I don't mind that.
Or like Jote the Donkey, the Knight of La Mancha, or Jote the Ass, the Knight of La Mancha.
I also still kind of just like Don Quixote.
Just call it Donkey space Jote. Yeah.
I don't mind. Could it be Don Quixote colon the Knight of La Mancha?
Of La Mancha. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Done. Boom.
Ba-dum-bam.
Boom goes the dynamite.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Hey, guess what, guys? I know it's been a minute, but we did a thing.
Woo!
No ring rust at all.
Well, you know, we had to shake it off a little bit.
Someone didn't remember to sync, but other than that, I think it was pretty good.
We all make mistakes. We all deal with 2020 the way we're going to deal with 2020. The next thing, though, is that so this is September's episode that we're recording right now,
mm-hmm.
Which means our next episode in this delightful year is our Verncraft, our secret fourth ongoing, the Verncraft episode, where we shoved the Jules Verne world and the Lovecraft world right into each other as fast as we can.
So before we do our random roll and we figure out, you know, we put on the table what we're doing next time.
Mm-hmm.
Here is our tentative plan. Extremely tentative, because this year has already gotten so far away from us. We're not going to try to like catch up. We're just going to jump in where we were, which means this should have been a rando commando, but like whatever. We said we were doing Don Quixote at the end of the other one, which we did record earlier this year, I think like early March, maybe.
Oh, we had grand plans. Listening to the start of the Greek mythology episode, we had grand plans to get back on track.
Yeah, we were gonna double up. We were gonna like we're not doing that.
No.
There might be extra episodes. We might do some rando commandos if we have time and we can make it work. But do not expect it. We're just gonna try to just get back to monthly. Right, as if we did not miss six months of episodes.
Yep.
And we're just jumping back in. So this is September, and then the next one will be the Verncraft.
And October.
Then November is usually guest, I think.
Actually, I think November is normally the Rando Commando.
Is it?
September is a guest, but we've never really stuck to that.
Okay, so we'll figure out what November's going to be, and then December, January, February, we're gonna do
back
our,
to the ongoings.
Ongoings again, and we're just gonna everyone's gonna be cool, and we're just gonna pretend like this is fine, and we nailed it this whole year.
It just means we're gonna get back to those good ongoings a lot faster than normal.
Yeah, like genuinely, I feel like GMCU we like wrapped it up. I feel like we nailed it. I don't know what we're gonna do. So February is gonna be interesting. We'll figure it out.
Yes. All right. So we have 11 things on our available list. If you looked at our list, you'll notice there's 12 things, but one of them doesn't unlock until after we get another achievement. So there's 11 things on our Verncraft list right now. Alan, do you have a magic number for me?
Number 11.
The color out of space.
Okay.
So this one, just a brief hit. A weird color lands on Earth and infects everyone and makes them go cuckoo pants. Also, sure. If you've seen the movie Annihilation with Natalie Portman, it's that.
Yeah. They also, I think they just put out a movie, Color in Space, with Nick Cage in it.
And it's weird.
I heard like some of my friends watched it, and they said like there were some parts that were like legitimately hard to watch.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Well, I mean, the last thing I knew Nick Cage had done was Mandy. And apparently that was also legitimately hard to watch in places. So.
Well, that one's more like straight up slashery, right? Like
it's a horror movie.
Yeah, this one is like a cosmic horror movie, so it's hard to watch in like other ways. So
Nick Cage has realized what his
station in life is, and that he can do kind of whatever.
Yeah. So I do have a question. I don't remember how we decide what we're going to do for a Verncraft. So we have done a pulp horror miniseries, an action adventure ARG, a pulp horror TV show, and a pulp horror movie most recently.
So
all in the same connected universe.
Around the World in 80 Days is the ARG.
Yes. Journey to the Center of the Earth was the miniseries, like an old classic sci-fi miniseries.
It's like a 3-2-hour episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Invasion of the Sea was the TV show that I think is the latest in our chronology. I think that's the last one. And the movie was The Adventures of Captain Hatteras. And I think that's the earliest in the chronology.
I think you're right. Okay.
I don't actually know where Around the World in 80 Days lands.
I think present day, so it is the last,
technically the last, but it's also
extremely technically
I think it's also the thinnest connections because it's an ARG, so
I think it's also like the second one we did and we went, hey, we've done this twice now, should we do something? We make this a thing.
I think we just like stapled something onto a different idea at the very end.
Yeah,
but I don't remember. I have it queued up to listen to it before next month.
Yeah. I should probably find some time to do that.
So it's gonna be pulp horror.
Yep,
presumably.
We
know that much. Do we want to pick a medium?
I don't know if we have, because the last Verncraft was the first like one that we knew we were doing, I think, that we had it like planned and scheduled that we would do a Verncraft. The other one just kind of happened, right?
Invasion of the Sea started that, and then we reinforced it with Hatteras last year.
Okay.
So this will be our third year of intentionally doing that.
Okay. So maybe I think we just wait until we do the episode and we each like pitch what we think, and then we'll figure out which one works best.
I like it. Alan, you like it?
Good.
All right. And then after that, we'll figure out between now and when we record that episode what we're going to do in November.
I mean, we haven't done a Rando Commando in a while, and they are very fun. So
either as our normal episode or as a Bobo, we should do a Rando Commando, because those have only turned out good.
Yeah.
Fuck, Manos Hands of Fate was so good.
It shouldn't have worked.
It should not have worked.
Bless us. God bless us, everyone. In other fun news, just to drive a nail into what a weird year it's been. Cinderella was 2 years ago, and that's now back on our list of available to be touched up again.
Okay. Hell yeah.
We could end up doing a sequel to the Cinderellian. Guys, that might be one of our best episodes. Anyway.
That's a good one.
We need to wrap this up.
We should.
So I guess that means the only thing left to do is to say, I'm Matt.
I'm Jake.
And I'm Alan.
And you've been rebooted.
You know, no matter how much time away, the heart does not grow fonder in this one instance. It's wild.
Crazy that, huh?
It's so weird.
Some things never change.
You can find us on Twitter at RebootCast or email us hardreboot@fifthdraw.com. Alan Sells can be found at Alan_Sells on Twitter. Matt Hoadley can be found at Matt Hoadley. And Jake Mason can be found at JJ_Mason.
Hard Reboot is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. For more information, please visit creativecommons.org.